This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Psalm 127, where we left off last time. Psalm 127. Now, as I have told you, the book of Psalms is divided up into five books called the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And each one has a theme. We're now in the last book, which is Deuteronomy, which means these are the words. Psalm 127 is in a series of psalms called a Song of Degrees. There are 15 of them, and here is why. The Bible tells us that good King Hezekiah, king of Judah, was on his deathbed. He was going to die, and he had no heir to the throne, no children. So he asked God to let him live, and God said, I will add 15 years to your life. And then Hezekiah said, will you give me a sign that you mean that? Because he was still on his deathbed. So God said, yes, I'll turn time backwards 10 degrees. I'll turn the sundial back 10 degrees. So Hezekiah wrote 10 of these 15 degrees. The 15 is for the number of years God added to his life, and 10 of them Hezekiah wrote representing the sign. Four of them are written by King David. King David lived before Hezekiah, but Hezekiah went back into the archives and got four of David's psalms because David had been in the same terrifying situations, life-threatening situations as Hezekiah, and one is written by Solomon. Now, there is a great life lesson that goes around and around in these 15 Song of Degrees. First of all, you'll have a psalm, and it'll be distress. Now, many of you, under the sound of my voice, are in great distress. Now, the next psalm says trust. So, Christian, what do? You trust in the Lord when you're in distress. And then the third thing is deliverance, which brings blessings and peace. And this is a life cycle. You're in distress, Christian. You trust in the Lord. The Lord delivers you and brings blessings and peace. Even if you don't get out of your trouble, you still have blessings and peace. So last time, Psalm 126 was distress because Hezekiah had just had 200,150 of his best leaders captured by King Sennacherib. So he was in great distress and asking God to save those. Now we come to Psalm 127, and the theme here is trust.
Psalm 127, a song of degrees for Solomon.
The word for there should read by, and the same song will tell us that Solomon wrote this. Now to understand this psalm, you have to understand that at this point, Hezekiah was 40 years old, dying, and he had no heir to the throne. He had no children. And he knew that in 2 Samuel 7, God had promised earlier to King David that there would always be an heir to sit on the throne of Judah until he whose right it is to sit upon it would come, meaning Jesus. And so his main concern was there was no one to carry on the seed line. That would mean even the seed line through which Messiah would come would have been shut off. Now, why did he go into the archives and find one psalm of Solomon? Well, the Bible does not tell us, so this is speculation. Put it in parentheses. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 or 400 concubines, probably lots of children there. Maybe could give him some advice on having children.
Verse 1, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain.
Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, which Holy Spirit wrote through Solomon, Solomon said, I am so rich. I'm the richest man in the world. I've got choirs. I can have a choir on every corner. I've got the altos, sopranos, I've got the tenors, I've got the basso profundos, I've got the trumpets, the cornets, the violas, the violins. And he said, I build houses, you would not believe how majestic they are. But in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon says, except the Lord be in this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It is vain. Except God build the house, it is in vain. Now you, Christian, are a house. The Bible says in Corinthians, you are the temple of the living God. Now you work so hard about your house, your job, your family, your friends, your plans. And except God is in every one of this, crush, crush, vanity, nothing. Now as a missionary to America, America's house was built on Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible had been removed openly from America. And no matter how much the watchman on the wall, this one cries out, America, repent, come back to Jesus and the Bible. Except we do that, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now what about the watchman? At night the watchman will be on the wall. They were watching out for the enemy. And if they saw the enemy coming, they would go in and tell the king, wake up, the enemy's coming. As a watchman on the wall, I've been telling America for quite some time, I saw the snake come out of that person's mouth that you voted, and I said, watchman on the wall, the enemy is not just coming, he's in the hen house. But if you don't turn back to Jesus, it's no point for me to warn you. Except the Lord build the house, your job, your family, your tent, there is nothing of any value to anything you do. Except the Lord be number one, 1, 1, 1.
True, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows.
He says here to the person who does not put God first in the everything in their life, he says you can get up before dawn, and you can work and work and work. You can work so hard you skip lunch. Boy, you're going to, you know, get this work done. And you're going to work till late in the evening. But he says it's vanity. And you're going to go to sleep. And yet all of that, look what God can do while people sleep. Listen to the rest of this.
For so he giveth his beloved sleep.
Now the beloved, of course, would be God's elect, the Christian, the person who reveres God and puts God first in his life and does the word. God says here, I can do more while my beloved Christian sleeps, who has worked all day long for me, for God, than I can give my child more while I sleep. Remember, God never slumbers and he never sleeps. More than all of the people who do not put God into the equation, all of that all day long work. Isn't that interesting? Do you realize, Christian, if you're dedicated to him, this gives me great joy. You know, while I'm sleeping at night, God's touching a heart over there to help me get the word of God out to all of the world. Did you know that? While you're sleeping at night, God's turning somebody's heart that you're praying for back to Jesus. Oh, while you sleep, he gives his beloved sleep. Now, who is the beloved? This would be found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. There God decides to change the name of Solomon, and he changes it to Jedidiah. It'll say Jedidiah in your English, but there is no J in the Hebrew. And it comes from a Hebrew word, Yadid, which means beloved. So he's speaking to Solomon. Now he says, while my beloved is asleep, if you love God, I can do more for you while you're sleeping than all the work the evil people are doing in the daytime. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon was asleep, and he had just inherited the throne from his father David. And God came to him in a dream and vision. Now, I want to explain something to you. God gives dreams and visions. They're not spaghetti. They're not sour pickles. And they're not emotional things that you need. When you know it's from God, you have it from God, it's more real than hand of breathing, and you know it. So God visited him there, and he said, Solomon, he said, you can ask me anything, and I will give it to you. So Solomon said, I am but a child, meaning I don't know how to come in out of the rain. And he said, give me an understanding heart. When I see people, let me see beyond that bandage, that veneer. Let me go to the core of them so I can pull out that out of them and help them and lead your people. Give me understanding, give me wisdom, and give me knowledge that I may understand your people. God was so pleased with Solomon, he said, because you've not asked for riches, you've not asked for the heads of your enemies, I will give you riches, I will give you the heads of your enemies, and I will give you fame. Now, Solomon is not the only one God has spoken to in a sleep. He speaks to his people in dreams and visions. In the garden, the farmer had no wife. Farmer needed a wife, and while the man Adam slept, Eph Ha'adam, that specific man through whom Jesus later would come, he took a wife from Adam. Now that's a pretty good dream. And then there was Abraham in Genesis 15. Abraham had no children. God said, Abraham, you're going to have so many seed, they're going to be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. But he said, Abraham, they're going to go into captivity in a strange land. But Abraham, here's the good news. They're going to come out with substance. And then there was Jacob sleeping on a pillow, running from his brother Esau. Jacob's stone, that rock, stone of destiny, which is now in England. And he had a dream and vision. And he saw a stairway to heaven, and the angels were descending, and the angels were ascending. And God showed him that through the lineage of Jacob, right on down umbilical cord to umbilical cord, would come Messiah Jesus, would open the stairway to heaven. And through Jesus, we could go back home to God. And then there was Daniel, who had visions upon his head on his bed. God gave him the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then there was Apostle Paul, who says, I do not know whether I was in the body or out of the body. He was taken to the third heaven and earth age. And then there is this speaker, and we'll hold that.
Three, lo, children are an heritage from the Lord.
What he says here, remember, this psalm, Hezekiah is asking for children because he has no heir to the throne. And so he says that children are on loan from the Lord. Now, those of you who have a son, you say, that's my son. Those of you who have a daughter say, that's my daughter. No, they're not. Sorry. God loaned them to you. He's their father. He's their parent. He trusted them with you. Now, I love books. If I have my own book, I'll mark in it. And if I happen to spill something on it, I don't get mad at me. But if I borrow a book, I am so careful not to hurt it. I won't harm it in any way. I'll take good care of it. I'll dust it off and wipe it off and be so careful. When I give it back, it's going to be just brand new. Your children are on loan from God. It is your assignment to bring them up to know Jesus and every word of God. And they need to see that you are in love with Jesus. It must be a live, passionate love. That child knows whether you're just saying it or whether you're living it.
And the fruit of the womb is his reward. For as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth.
Now, the arrows here in the Hebrew means strength, and the mighty man is a warrior. In Bible times, they used bows and arrows. So the more arrows they had in their quiver, that's what they kept the arrows in, their quiver, say quiver, okay, the mighty and stronger they were. So what he's saying here, the more children you have, the stronger you are. Now you men say, well, that doesn't affect me. Wait just a minute. Jesus is the bridegroom, we're the bride. Now for the elect, Romans 8, predestined, God is the husband, and the elect, called, chosen, are the wife. And therefore, the wife is supposed to bear fruit, men of the body of Christ, women. Every time you win a soul to Jesus, you have given birth to a child. How's your quiver? Do you have your quiver full?
5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed.
Okay, are you happy? Are you happy you got your quiver full? There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She led them to Jesus, and she taught them the word and said, go ye and tell every word that you heard.
They shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Here's why he says it's good to have children. In the natural, the more children you have, the more children you have for the nation. And he's talking about godly children, not selfish, spoiled brats who think they have owned everything and talk back to you and their lives are all about themselves. Children who know their purpose, who love Jesus, love the Bible, have given their lives completely to God. The more children a nation has as a missionary to America, the more army and military we have. And if all of our military would be a quantity, a lot of them, and every one of them had been raised up to know Jesus and the Bible, God would have our back and we'd always win our wars.
Amen.
So see, you would have the victory. Now, you are supposed to win souls to Jesus. I do not want you to sit down anymore and wait for me next week to say, how many children did you have? At least go out this week and try. Everybody you meet, your mission field.
Psalm 128, a song of degrees.
Now, we've had distress. These are song of degrees. You came in late. Yeah, they run in cycles, distress, and then we have trust. Now we have deliverance, which brings blessings and peace. So we need some deliverance here. Hezekiah needs a child to sit on the throne. You need a child to sit on the throne beside Jesus so you can hand him to Jesus. You know, it's really nice that you're going to go to heaven, but wouldn't you be embarrassed not to have somebody with you? Take someone with you. Bring a friend.
Verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways.
Fear means to revere. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord, reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Walk in his way is the word. Now notice he didn't say, you are blessed. Oh, blessed, by the way, means, oh, how happy. He didn't say, oh, how happy you are, you love the Lord. Most everybody in the sound of my voice who's a Christian, you say, I love Jesus. But what's the second part? Walk in his way. His way is the word. That means Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. That means 24 hours a day. And then if you do that, you're happy and you're blessed.
Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands.
And of course, meaning that you would bear more fruit. Do you know that if you abide in the vine, and Jesus is the vine, he's also the word, and you're the branch, you couldn't help but bear fruit. See, some of you have snipped away your branch from the vine and you're a dead, twice dead, plucked up at the roots. You stay connected. That power, Holy Spirit power of the Holy Spirit coming from the vine to the branch automatically produces fruit. You look down and suddenly there's a child that has come into the kingdom of God. It would naturally happen. You couldn't help it.
Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. 3, thine wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house.
So he says, your wife will have many children.
Thy children like olive plants round about the table.
The olive is interesting there because the olive oil is the oil of our people, Eliyahu, the Hebrew. It means the anointing. In other words, if you revere the Lord and walk in his way, even your children will be anointed. They won't just be these little bones living their lives for themselves and that's all. They will be people who are fulfilling the destiny and working in the plan of God.
For behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life.
Now that verse is the answer to prayer for last time, 126. God did set free those 200,150 men of Judah. He did answer Hezekiah's prayer and he set them free. But now let's see if God's going to give Hezekiah any children.
6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel.
God heard his prayer. He added 15 years to his life. And 3 years into those 15 years, his son Manasseh was born. There was an heir to the throne. And on down umbilical cord to umbilical cord, finally came through the Virgin Mary, our Lord Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Psalm 129, a Song of Degrees.
Now, this one goes back a cycle, distress. Remember, they're in cycles, distress, trust, delivers, just like your life. You're in distress, you trust in the Lord, he delivers you and brings blessings and peace. So now we're in distress again. This time Hezekiah is not writing of himself. He is writing of the nation Israel. So I need to talk to you about the nation of Israel. There are 12 tribes of Israel. Everybody got it? Not just one. 12. Everybody say 12. Please shout it on the radio and television. 12, folks. Okay. Now, they're not together. Actually, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, is where they started the splitting because he went bad. They separated themselves. Two of them changed their names and called themselves the House of Judah. When Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the wall, the House of Judah. So, in part, the House of Judah, for the most part, not quite all, would be in the land of Israel, and we love our brother Judah. Well, where are the 10 tribes? The same Sennacherib, 200 years before Nebuchadnezzar captured Judah, captured the 10 tribes. They migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, these Americas, and the larger bulk of the 10 tribes called the House of Israel settled these United States of America, and we are still here, the seed of Abraham. Now, there are 12 tribes. So this is addressed, distress to the nation of Israel. As a missionary to America, 10 tribes of Israel, I say, America, you're in distress. You have thrown Jesus, you have thrown Bible away, and the fox is in the hen house. He has taken over the land. Turn back to Jesus, turn back to the Bible. Fear the Lord and walk in his way. He will forgive, he will heal our land.
Verse 1, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, verse 2, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me.
Now, as God told Abraham in his vision in Genesis 15, he said, your children are going to go into captivity. So when our wonderful Joseph of many colors died, a new Pharaoh came and put all of the Israelites into slavery in Egypt. And they were there as slaves for 400 years. But God remembered his promise. He wasn't through with them. Just because you've been put on the shelf, God doesn't say you're through. He's making your heart a little stronger for the work you are yet to do.
3, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows.
Because they were slaves, of course, many times they would beat the slaves on their back. Now, it's time for me to tell you one of the thousands of visions and dreams I've had. Some time ago, I was in brutal, extreme pain. It felt like a sharp, two-edged sword, hot, into an open wound, just turning around. It was brutal and crucial. And I asked the Lord to heal the pain as I went to sleep. And suddenly, the real me, this enthusiastic spirit, I was walking along the road, highway, swinging my arms, and this young man joined me, and he swung his arms too. He was about 33 years old. We did not say one word. See, when you're with your soulmate, your kindred spirit, you don't have to say anything. Each one feels what the other feels. We were one, and so we walked jauntily along. But suddenly, he stopped. So since we're one, I stopped too. And he did an amazing thing. He removed his shirt. So he turned his back to me, and I was stunned, and I saw stripes. Stripes, as though a plow had plowed furrows in his back. I awoke and I was healed. The pain was gone. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. He became the slave beaten with the stripes so you could be free and be healed.
Fool. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked.
So God took a type of Savior, Moses, and sent down there and told Pharaoh, let my people go. And he delivered them out of captivity. All mankind was in captivity to sin. There was nothing to look forward to but a deep, dark circle of death. And you couldn't crawl out. Nobody could pull you out of it. But Jesus came and took your place, died in your stead, and he set the captive free. Please understand that that slavery of Israel, that's why Jesus took the stripes. The slaves were beaten, so Jesus was beaten like a slave. Did you know that 30 pieces of silver is the price of a slave with which Judas betrayed him?
5, let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion.
And of course, there they were coming out of the captivity, and they faced the Red Sea. Oh my Lord, what are we going to do? And here comes Pharaoh and all of his chariots huffing and a puffing. Well, you know God parted the Red Sea and the land was dry and the children of Israel walked through. So the enemy said, we'll go through too. Well, God cut them off. He drowned them all. God says, I'll be an enemy to your enemy.
6, let them be as the grass upon the housetop, which withereth before it groweth up.
In Bible times, the rooftops were flat, so of course some soil would get up there. And if the wind should blow a little bit of grass seed up there, and if there were enough moisture, the little grass seed would come up a blade of grass. And there it was. But because it had no root, it withered away. Listen, Christian, no root, no fruit. You are to be rooted and grounded in every word of God so that nobody can come and pluck you up out of your place.
7, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand.
In other words, if the lawnmower went up there, there would be nothing there, just this little dead grass.
Nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom.
The sheaves, you know, bringing in the sheaves, that would be a bundle of fruit. There would be no fruit.
Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Now, many scholars like to say that that verse was totally out of place. Not so. The Bible backs it up in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Boaz, wealthy Boaz, owned property and was walking by his fruitful wheat fields where his heathen reapers were reaping and bringing in the sheaves and gathering fruit. And he said to them, bless you in the name of the Lord. But you see, where there is no root, there would be no wheat, there would be no fruit. Now we'll begin right there next time. At this time, it's time for Mystery Moment. Jesus comes at the seventh trump. A trump is an event, lights, camera, action, the last one out. Now he does not sneak in before then. Every eye shall see him when he comes. At the sixth trump, coming up soon, according to God's word, we don't know the day or the hour, will be the Antichrist. Anti in the Greek means the instead of. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. And the whole world will go after him, except a small group of God's elect. I pray that be you. However, right now it is the fifth trumpet, the fifth seal, which means a time of learning. Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in Revelation 2, what does Jesus mean when he says the death of the second death? The second death is the death of the soul. That will take place at the end of the millennium, that 1,000 years reign of peace when Jesus teaches and the elect teach. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies. That's when the lake of fire comes into existence and Satan will walk into it and all who are lost, and that's the second death. That's the end. No more chances. The first death is like our wonderful loved ones that we love. They have died, but they're not dead. They just stepped out of their flesh body. Next question. Dear Sherry, have you heard of Joseph the Tin Man? Yes, I have. Joseph the Tin Man is Joseph of Arimathea in the Bible. Now, remember that Joseph of Arimathea asked for Jesus' body to take it down from the cross and buried him in his new tomb there. Remember that? Well, you know, nobody can get the dead corpse except they be a near kinsman. Understand that? History tells us, I've studied this, that Joseph of Arimathea was Mary's uncle. So obviously Mary's husband, Joseph, had already gone to be with the Lord. Now, about your question, Joseph the Tin Man. In Glastonbury, England, there is proof, monuments, books, stones, and the children sing songs of Joseph the Tin Man. He was rich in tin. He came in a ship to mine the tin mines. Guess what else they say in Glastonbury, England? It is written, and there was a young lad with him. And they say the lad was Jesus. Hallelujah. History absolutely never disagrees with God's word if you get it right. We don't need history to prove it, but I think that's interesting. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in the book of Joshua, who are those Anakins? Okay, that's the book of Joshua. Joshua was leading the children into the promised land and cleaning out the enemy. The Anakins were the giants, which leads to the next question. Weren't the giants destroyed in Noah's flood? They were. The first influx of giants were destroyed in Noah's flood, but there was a second influx of them. So who are the giants? In the Hebrew, they're called Geba. The giants are the offspring of the fallen angels, Hebrew, Genesis 6, sons of God, Nephilim, who went in unto the beautiful daughters of the man Adam, and they bore giants. They were hybrid. They were messing up God's plan. That was why Noah's flood, but there was a second influx of them. And don't forget, even David had to fight one there, Goliath. Remember that? Dear Sherry Trumpet, why did God himself not destroy Achan when Achan stole the accursed thing in the book of Joshua? Well, before I answer your question, for my listeners' sake, let me explain this. Joshua was taking the people into the promised land. And God told Joshua to tell all the Israelites, do not take any idol out of this land. You don't need this. This is accursed, and don't do it. But there was one of the tribe's people, Achan, that's his name, Achan, South Carolina, some of you are listening there, Achan, and he stole a Babylonian garment. It was a priest's garment, and God called it the accursed thing. It was stunning. It was shimmering with pearls and jewels. It was a priest's garment, but a false priest. But Achan loved it, and he got some of the jewels, and he took it back to his dad's tent. But a curse came on Israel. So God told Joshua, he said, tell all of the leaders, all 12 princes, to find out in their tribe who it is that has the accursed thing. And of course, God knew. Which leads to your question, why did God let them help with this? I'll explain it in just a minute. So they finally found out that it was Achan, and of course they stoned him. Why did God not just do it himself? Because Revelation 20 says, you Christian are being trained to reign with him 1,000 years. Reign means to teach. How are you going to reign if you can't keep your own little house clean? Train to reign. And you know, you really need to learn to be disciplined. You need to recognize when a demon comes in piggyback on a Christian's, and you need to stand up and fight for the right sometimes. You need to speak up and stand up and shout. You need to be a king and a priest like God made you to be. Praise the Lord. Okay, one more question here. Dear Sherry, what is Jacob's trouble? Jacob's trouble is the tribulation of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the devil with his Jesus costume on. He is perdition, Apollyon, Revelation 9, man of sin, and he has been sentenced to perish from the end. He always wanted to be God. I know they keep trying to find it another man, but it's Satan, and I can prove it to you. I'm going to teach Revelation soon on the radio, so don't miss it. We'll break it down. We're not trying to prove and say we're right. We just want you to know the truth so you won't be deceived. Antichrist tribulation coming up soon. Remember, we're in the fifth one now, then comes six. By the way, some of you say the temple must be built before he can come. You're the temple of the living God. And so remember that the devil's going to sit himself in the temple, but it means the temple of Christians' hearts who will be deceived. Remember, half of the body of Christ is going to be deceived. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. So the temple will be, he'll be sitting as God in the temple of Christians' heart who really think it's Jesus. He's going to pretend to be Jesus. He's going to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. Be not deceived. Now, we'll have some more questions next time, and we'll begin then with the next psalm there in the Song of Degrees. I do hope these questions are blessing you. Now, for those of you who are calling me, I appreciate my announcer is about to give you my telephone number. I am getting every one of your calls. Some of you leave your name, some don't. Shelby, thank you very much. She says, you're very real. Isn't that a great compliment? Sonny and Lois Harper, thank you. I appreciate it. Listen, every Saturday morning, Diane, a blessing, and prayed for me on the phone. And on it goes. If I leave your name out, I don't leave it out on the telephone. I'm praying for you. Keep calling. Feel free to call me for prayer. I want to invite all of you to come on Sundays at 5 p.m. here at my school. One book at the time, chapter, verse, line by line, and then we're going to have prayer for healing, prayer for everybody. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., one book at the time. Right now we're studying Acts. By the time you get here, it'll be something else. Chapter, verse, and line. And on Wednesday nights, we fall on this floor and wail for America. We pray fervently for America, and the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully. My school is Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida. Address 916 Florida Avenue, Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. Now, for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Let the pancreas be healed. livers and colons and bladders and private parts on men and private parts on women and ears and heads and brains and legs and bones. Fibromyalgia, you have no power whatsoever. Arise and live in the mighty name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Bless your heart. Now, the greatest healing is the healing of the soul. I want you to come and live with me in Father's house for all eternity. There's so much awaiting for us. Oh my goodness, talk about the young man and I being one. We're all gonna be one. Jesus prayed that they be one as we are one. All one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and us. Now, if you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. And I do ask the Holy Spirit will convict and save. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
Please forgive me for them all.
Please forgive me for them all.
Omission.
Omission.
Commission.
Commission.
Sitting watching the show.
Sitting watching the show.
When I should have been the show.
When I should have been the show.
Sitting on my duff.
Sitting on my duff.
When I should have been increasing the kingdom of God.
When I should have been increasing the kingdom of God.
Save me.
Save me.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Daily, continually fill me. Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Let me be your slave, Jesus.
Let me be your slave, Jesus.
Use me.
Use me
to enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I thank you.
I thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. When you call me, you might like to also call and tell me you were saved. Feel free to call and leave any prayer request on my phone. I love all of you. Don't forget, Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesdays 6:30 p.m., at the same time on the radio next week. I want all of you to pray that God will open a door that I can reach the nation with the word of God. It is my destiny. I get no money for it. I just work hard. But God can open the door, and you need to pray for me for that, okay? We are ready. The time is short. You're about to hear me play a couple of measures on the piano, the Our Father. The reason I do this is to give him the glory. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, remember this when you think of Yeshua, Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. God bless and keep you. God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Crystal blue. wish upon the stars above my head. I'll bear witness to a marvelous sunset. But the very thought of things I've never seen is all it takes to bring me to my
joy that makes my face. You're listening to WMIE on your radio dial, 91.5, as well as W272BA, 102.3 FM.
Didn't know that you hold me. I didn't notice you were crying too. I didn't know that was you washing my feet. And this is all that I can say right now. Oh, I know it's not much. This is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything.